This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanasan and Noel Lim. And in efforts to combat the COVID crisis in the US, the government enacted a number of policies to provide fiscal stimulus to the economy and relief to those affected. In tandem, the Federal Reserve also embarked on a series of significant monetary stimulus measures, including lowering the Fed fund rates to its lowest historical level of 0.25%.
And as recently as last month, President Joe Biden proposed a $6 trillion budget that, if approved, will result in the U.S. debt to rise to 117% of the size of the economy by 2031. With the impending rising debt levels, analysts expect 2021 to be a year of U.S. dollar weakness. But does the recent announcement by the FOMC that two rate hikes are expected by the end of 2023 change that narrative?
So in collaboration with Standard Chartered Malaysia, we're speaking this morning to its Managing Director and Head of Wealth Management, Samir Sharma, to find out how Forex markets are going to respond. Thanks so much for joining us today, Samir. Now, the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index, which tracks the 10 leading global currencies versus the dollar, has been volatile, registering a gain of close to 4%, now just up 1.75% on a year-to-date basis. What are the data points that we should be focusing on to determine US dollar direction? And what is your view, especially since many analysts were expecting a US dollar weakness this year?
Thanks. That's a pretty good question. See, the data points we consider are quite a few. So the relative real interest rates, growth rates, inflation, obviously, employment metrics, PMI, and for US in particular, the twin trade and budget deficits. Yeah. Now, one thing to keep in mind here is there's been a big change in how the Fed has been looking at inflation. So they moved away from inflation targeting to average inflation targeting. And that has made a big difference. What that means is now the inflation rates, as you would have heard or seen in the news, has gone up significantly. But Fed is still taking a position that it's okay. It's transitory in nature. And this is more due to supply chain disruptions, and it'll get normalized over a period of time. What that means from a policy standpoint is we do expect the policies to remain accommodative in the near future. And couple that with the twin trade deficits and the budget deficits that US is facing at this point of time, we believe that the dollar will fundamentally continue weakening from here.
Does the comments by the Fed on bringing forward the rate hikes to 2023 change your US dollar outlook, though?
At this point, no. So if you read his statement carefully, they have given a dot plot chart which talks about consideration on different aspects in terms of possibly accelerating the process. However, he has also made a very clear statement that take these data points with a big grain of salt. So clearly the data is emerging, but it doesn't seem like they are very clear at this point of time that they will definitely accelerate the pace. So our view at this point remains the same.
Meanwhile, Samir, the euro has been gaining strength against the greenback until the recent FOMC announcement. As the economic prospects improved with an aggressive vaccination program and a gradual removal of restrictions after a long lockdown. However, is the euro overvalued considering the double dip recession it faced and the potential of COVID spikes?
Good question again. I'll take the COVID piece first, right? So COVID spikes, honestly, can happen anywhere and everywhere. But I would say North America and Europe are better placed to manage it, given that they have seen a significant acceleration in vaccination levels. Is there room for acceleration in the economic performance for Europe? I believe yes. That is also on the cards, given that they are pretty close to reaching herd immunity levels across many countries. And with a fiscal stimulus expected in H2, that coming together will help a lot. And if you look at a few high-frequency data indicators around Europe, like job vacancies, travel to retail and entertainment venues, short-term net bookings, right? They're already hitting pre-pandemic levels, and that's all good signs. So the rapid recovery, we believe, will happen, and Euro will emerge stronger over the summer, and the economy improvement will lead in more improvement in the financial assets, as well as improvement in the euro position overall. That's one aspect. The second aspect to consider here, which is equally important, would be the long-term cycle for USD. So over since 1970s, if you look at the trend, we believe U.S. goes through a 7 to 9 year cycle in terms of peaking and then going down. 2018 was when they peaked. 2020, they did a double top owing to the pandemic, they benefited. But we now believe again that U.S. is on a cyclical downtrend, and the cyclical downtrend will help euro strengthen also as a relative currency.
If we were to compare EM and DM currencies, though, flows have been stronger into developed markets on the back of a resurgence of virus cases, especially in Asia. But do you see this flow reversing in the later part of the year as economic activity adapts, perhaps to pandemic conditions, and manufacturing activity resumes?
Yeah, so this is a bit more tricky, right? As you correctly pointed out. So EM currencies, we do see, will improve primarily on account of the point I just mentioned, the cyclical weakening of the dollar, right? So downtrend will help. Having said that, in the near term, the EM currency strength will be tempered purely on account of the pandemic and the situation in these countries around the vaccination levels. So till the vaccination levels do not improve significantly, they would be challenged. There would be headwinds. Having said that, not all EM currencies are equal. Right. So countries who have been relatively disciplined in their monetary and fiscal policies historically will definitely benefit. Also, another important data point to consider at this point is the improving commodity prices and the developed market demand will help countries which are export oriented.
The People's Bank of China had recently tried to slow down the appreciation of the yuan after it hits a three-year high against the US dollar. Does this derail allowing a long-term appreciation of the yuan?
Yeah, so we see this as a short-term measure, and the impact also, we believe, is likely going to be short-term in nature. The appreciation of the yuan had several drivers, right? So the undervaluation above 7 to the dollar to begin with, as you correctly mentioned, strongly managed or a well-managed pandemic response, flexibility to manufacture and export and fulfill overseas demand before the rest of the countries and economies could pick up. And clearly a very differentiated and conservative monetary policy versus rest of the central banks in the world. So all that is helping. We would not be surprised to see a period of stability here, though, and consolidation around current levels for USD yuan. Although if the USD continues weakening, which is our current position, we expect that USD yuan will also track directionally accordingly.
Meanwhile, a strategy of the Chinese government is to internationalize the yuan. Is this achievable, Samir?
I would put it differently, right? I would say, I think it's more accurate to say that the authorities would like to see more international use of the yuan for trade and reserve management. And this is potentially going to be a step-by-step process. It seems unlikely that capital controls will go away completely, right? Because it may create the unwanted instability, which is something they would not allow. So relaxations and controls will come, but it will be fairly gradual. Now, another thing to consider here, though, would be the digital yuan, which could be another way in which they could possibly go international. So China has successfully launched it in a few key domestic markets. They are testing it out very actively right now. So if that is successful, they may take that internationally across select markets, particularly in the region.
Now, closer to home, the ringgit has depreciated against the USD on a year-to-date basis by about 3%. What is driving this weakness, and do you think it is undervalued?
Yeah, so ringgit obviously is facing significant headwinds right now, but primarily I would say it's on account of the pandemic situation in the country, which we hope we can come out of sooner than later. So that's the primary issue, and it is causing a supply chain disruption associated with that. Now, given that the US dollar also has been weakening, so the relative weakening of ringgit, I would say, still needs to be considered in that context. Otherwise, it could have been worse. We see opportunities for ringgit to strengthen for sure, but in the near term, it will remain range-bound till we actually are out of the current crisis we are in.
Now, Samir, on another note, currencies are usually an investment that is the domain of the sophisticated investor, and this is partially due to the volatility and the common usage of derivatives. But do you think this is a misconception?
I would say yes. It is used for many other purposes, but it is definitely a separate asset class. Should clients consider diversifying into it? And is it accessible to anybody and everybody? The answer is yes. I mean, look at it, right? So FX is a 24/7 market. It's a $5 trillion market. Liquidity is ample versus equities, which is a $200 billion market per day. I'll give an example, which may be more relatable on this one. I have a kid who is now 18, right? So about 11 years ago, collectively as a family, we decided that the child is going to go overseas and study, say, in US, right? And the ballpark estimate is we need to save up, say, $200,000. Now, I'm not saying you can study in $200,000, but let's say $200,000 is the ballpark number. We need to save up for that. And I start saving in ringgit. And if I have to save up ringgit today and convert it in today's conversion, that fundamentally means a ballpark number of some 850,000 odd ringgit. I'm just giving an approximate number. However, if I would have started converting my ringgit to US dollar consistently as I was saving up month on month over the 11-year period, the amount of money I had to save because the currency was stronger at that point of time would be around 750. So I would save about 100,000 ringgit in my conversion itself. So imagine, right? Not only am I currently saving up for my kid's education, I also have to worry about the currency movements. Now, it can go either ways, but you're better off avoiding the risk by converting consistently and constantly because you have an end use in mind. So as a bank today, Stanchart offers a live FX platform, which is accessible to all of our customers on your fingertips, sitting at your home through the mobile app. You can practically trade in 60 currencies. You can do limit orders. You can set up currency alerts. You get advisory there to read up and understand better. But in summary to your question, I guess it is something which is accessible, available, and needed for each and every client to consider depending on their current state and need.
Samir, thank you so much for joining us this morning. In collaboration with Standard Chartered Malaysia, that was its Managing Director and Head of Wealth Management, Samir Sharma. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.